For before you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. As children of light, walk, for the fruit of light is all goodness and righteousness and truth. As children of light, walk discerning what it is that is pleasing to the Lord, and do not take part in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead even expose them. What you have heard twice now in two different translations is a lesson about your superpower. You have a superpower. It was given to you by God, and it is called discernment. And so that's the word that I want to circle for you today. Now, if you look in your bulletins, you won't find that word because it's hidden behind a different translation. Languages can be tricky to translate from one to another, and sometimes ideas get lost in the process. The NRSV, from which our reading came this morning, obscures this superpower a little bit. You might need X-ray vision to see it. The NRSV puts it as, try to find out. Try to find out. But the Greek term, dokimazo, gives us a lot more agency than just try to find out. Instead, we are invited to test and to examine and to approve of. We are to be like a jeweler who is assessing the clarity of a gem, or an appraiser considering the value of a piece of land, or an investor considering the relative risk and potential of a particular financial instrument. We make decisions based not on rules, but on our own powers of judgment. What we are involved in is the act of discernment. So as Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he admonishes the believers that as children of light, they should walk in a certain way, a discerning way, because that is their superpower. They and we have been entrusted with the privilege and the responsibility and the capacity to discern what it is that is pleasing to the Lord. Now, discernment in life is sort of like driving a car around the city. There are multiple ways to get where you're going. Some routes are better than others. Some routes are just plain wrong, like going the wrong way down a one-way street. Discernment means choosing the best route to achieve your purpose at that particular time of day. Now, God isn't like a backseat driver telling you which way to go at every turn. It is possible to read the Bible that way. But reading the Bible that way quickly becomes problematic. Just take the book of Ephesians, from which today's first lesson came, as an example. We can read the various household codes and the specific rules that Paul offers. And so when I read in chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, I feel pretty good about that. Yes, children, definitely, you should obey your parents, especially my children. Now, you may feel differently about this passage depending on your experience of childhood and of parents. Now, I can also go and read in the middle of chapter 5, just a few verses after today's lesson. Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. Now, with that one, I'm a little less confident. Is this a rule that makes sense in our present context? During sermon prep, when I was discussing this with Kate, she kind of gave me a squinty eye. This instruction might be workable in some marriages, but it could be pretty terrible in others. And then we come back to chapter 6. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as you obey Christ. Now, given the context of slavery in the United States and the terrible consequences that we continue to reap from that institution, I am horrified to find this in my Bible. Really? Is this God's word for me today? Condoning slavery, the subjugation of one human being to another? That simply doesn't square with my larger understanding of the Bible and of God's purpose in the world. And so all three of these instructions strongly reflect the context in which Paul wrote. And that is a context that is very distant from the place and the time that we live in today. And that is why Paul calls on us to use our superpower, discernment. Rules were created with history and with social location. Discernment involves sensitivity to exactly those factors. So as Kate pointed out to us a couple weeks ago, when God calls, God not only sends, but God blesses. Not only has God called me to a life of faith in this time and place, but God has blessed me with a superpower, with agency and capacity, with responsibility to discern, to judge, to figure out what it is that is pleasing to God here and now. Because I know that what is pleasing to God will be exactly what my own soul longs for in its deepest places. God has not called me to live in the Roman Empire of 2,000 years ago on the other side of the globe. God has called me to live in Seattle in 2017. God calls me to live here and now and to discern what it is that is pleasing to God today. God has not called me to live according to my desires and my pleasures, nor has God called me to live according to the wishes of my family or my friends or my employers or politicians. God calls me to discern what is pleasing to God alone, and thereby to understand the path that will give me life. Now I hear you. The question you're asking is, whence comes this capacity to discern well and rightly? How did you and I receive this superpower, and how is it developed in us? Because personally, I don't remember being exposed to massive amounts of gamma radiation like the Incredible Hulk. And I don't remember being bitten by a radioactive spider like Spider-Man. Nor do I remember having my tongue touched with a burning coal like Isaiah. And so I would suggest to you that the work of forming you and me to discern wisely what is good and right and true, what it is that is pleasing to the Lord, that is what church is all about. The church throughout history has had the job of forming and strengthening in us, its members, the superpower of discernment. The church accomplishes this task by inviting us to hear the words of Scripture, to speak the rites, to participate in the sacraments, and to live into relationships. As you join with the church in words and actions, you are being shaped and empowered to discern what it is that is pleasing to God. When the Eucharist ends and you are sent forth with the admonition, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord," that is your commissioning, your authorization, your marching orders. To love and serve the Lord is, in one sense, kind of a vague instruction. It has space. It has room. It is a call for you to meet your life wherever your life takes you, using your superpower of discernment. Our superpower of discernment allows us, it even compels us, to walk into any situation and to discover what our calling is in that situation. Now, discernment is not always easy or simple. Sometimes discernment requires time for prayer and for thought. Sometimes discernment requires conference with trusted conversation partners. But as we go about that work of discernment, you can trust that it is the Holy Spirit working in you. It is the breath of God that is giving you life, guiding you, calling you to do what it is that is pleasing to the Lord. Sometimes we make mistakes. And yet, even in these, God is at work redeeming, continuing the work of formation and sanctification in us, developing in us an ever greater capacity to discern and to love. Thus, as we live out our lives, exercising our superpower of discernment, we participate in the work of God, and we make the world a better place. Our light shines out in the darkness, leaving less room for evil to hide, and more opportunity for others to discover the perfect, undying, eternal love their Creator holds for them. For before you were darkness, but now you are light in the world, light in the Lord. As children of light, walk, for the fruit of light is all goodness and righteousness and truth. As children of light, walk, discerning what it is that is pleasing to the Lord. And do not take part in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead, even expose them.